Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Wow, good morning, everyone. Happy Canada Day. I am so glad that you are joining us this morning. Happy Canada Day because it's Canada's birthday. I know that is yesterday, and this is July 2nd, but I'm celebrating today. I've worn my white Adidas with red stripes just to show that I am a proud Canadian. There's something great about just being able to celebrate this moment. Here in Canada, when we celebrate Canada's Day, it's kind of like a launch of summer. We're taking the opportunity to recognize that the good weather is here, the winter weather is behind us, and we don't have to think about the winter anymore. School comes to an end, businesses shut down for a week or two, families try to make plans to get away or at least try to do something fun because the weather is warm and the weather typically is good. And so this is the beginning of summer for us. Now, if you've not planned to have some time away with your family, I would really encourage you to do that. Take some time, whether it's locally or whether you get to travel somewhere. But it's good to have family time and have moments with friends and some downtime to rest and relax. I don't know what you like to do in the summer. I like to go fishing. And fishing is just something that's relaxing for me. But I know that if I were to ask you how many of you like fishing, I'm going to get two answers from you. The first answer is going to be, yes, you love it. Something about catching that fish, the excitement of pulling it out of the water, holding it up, showing it off to your friends, letting them know that you made this incredible catch. But the rest of you are going to say, oh, that is so gross. Like, how can you do that? I can't imagine putting a hook on a worm and throwing it in water and pulling some slimy thing out of the water. And it's not something that you would appreciate or enjoy. If you take a look at this picture, this is a picture of my family. And my mom is actually taking this picture. The gentleman in the back, that is my father. And if you see the little boy there with the big smile on his face, that's me. That's my happy fishing face. And the girl in the picture is my sister. And you can tell by looking at this picture that she's not happy. And when she sees that I've shown this picture to the rest of the world, she's going to be unhappy again, I'm sure. But this picture makes me laugh because it illustrates how differently we perceive things. That differences are actually a part of who we are as human beings and what we like and what we don't like. And differences is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 47. Jesus tells a fishing story. And he says this, he says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into a lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up to the shore and they sat down, they collected the good fish into baskets, and then they threw the bad fish away. And Jesus is using this illustration to teach us something. And he's reminding us that perception matters. How we think matters. What we do with our lives matter. That there's actually going to come a moment in time when our lives are going to come to the end. And we are going to stand before God and we're going to have to account for everything that we have done in our lives. And so what this story reminds us of is that everything matters. The way we think, the way we live, what we understand, the decisions that we make. And it reminds me of a story in the Old Testament. There's this great story. It actually begins in 1 Kings chapter 19. But it's a story about a guy named Elisha. And Elisha is just one of those interesting fellows. He's one of those guys who catches the big fish and wants to show it off to everyone. He's the guy that does the most extraordinary things. And he's the one who shows up at the office to pull out the picture and say, hey, look what happened to me on this weekend. And if you go to 1 Kings chapter 19, there's this amazing moment when he's out plowing a field, just doing normal everyday stuff. He's plowing a field, and this man Elijah comes along, and says, I want you to be my personal assistant. And Elisha kills the oxen, burns his plows, has a great feast for his family. Then he leaves them behind and he goes and begins to work for this man, Elijah. And Elijah is a significant person. He's a very famous person, in fact. Because Elijah, if you go back and read the story, you discover that Elijah was the guy who did extraordinary things. He confronted the king of Israel. Israel's king's name was Ahab. And Ahab was this guy who completely disregarded anything that God had told him to do. God had said to him not to marry a person outside of the nation of Israel, and he disregarded that. He went and married another woman from another king of another country. And that woman's name was Jezebel, and Jezebel came into Israel, and she totally changed the culture of Israel. She totally changed the spiritual atmosphere. She brought in a new religion. She built new shrines and new temples and places that people needed to worship, and she forced them to worship, and she did it all under the approval of this King Ahab. King Ahab would not worship God. He mistreated his people. He murdered innocent people. Ahab was a social justice nightmare. And so Elijah comes along, this man who sees what's going on, and he challenges King Ahab. He challenges the beliefs of his wife Jezebel. He actually challenges this new religion and the priests around this religion by setting up an altar and challenging those priests to call down fire to consume the sacrifice on the altar. And when it didn't happen, Elijah prayed, fire came down and wiped out everything. Elijah was this guy who went running after a horse and a chariot at a full run, and he outran the horse and chariot. Elijah, King Ahab nicknamed him the troublemaker, because every time King Ahab wanted to do something, Elijah would come and tell him that he ought not to do that. So we see that Elijah calls this young man Elisha and says to Elisha, I want you to follow me. I want you to come work with me. I'm going to mentor you. You're going to learn with me. And if we move ahead into the story of 2 Kings chapter 2, we see that Elijah's life is about to come to an end. And so in verse 1 it says that the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. And so Elijah and Elisha, two different people, were traveling from a place called Gilgal. And when Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to another place called Bethel. But Elisha replied and said, as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. And so the two of them together traveled together to Bethel. I've discovered something about traveling. I've discovered that if you're going to go somewhere, you need to know your destination. You need to know where it is that you are going. Destination is everything. Like, think about it. You're not going to go to the airport and get on a plane and have no idea where that plane's going to land, because that can create chaos in your life. We need to have a destination. We need to know where you're going. If you want to catch fish, you don't go to Canada's Wonderland, unless you know something I don't know. But if you want to catch fish, you go to where there is fish. Destination matters. And in the same way in life, there are certain things that we all hope to accomplish one day, but never will, because of that destination that we have chosen to pursue. Sometimes we pursue destinations that are not good for us or not healthy for us. We want a healthy family, but we choose a destination of disconnection or dissatisfaction. We look at other things and we go, oh man, that would be so much better than what I'm stuck with right now. And so we choose the wrong destination. We want a good marriage, but we choose a destination of selfishness. We worry about what matters to me. I don't worry about what my spouse wants or what our marriage needs. I'm just concerned. I need me time. I want me time. And so we choose a destination of selfishness. We want financial security. But we choose a destination of foolish spending. Man, you can go on Amazon and peel off $1,000 without even realizing you've done it. It's so easy to go shopping. It's so easy to spend money and sometimes spend it foolishly and not steward our resources well. We want to know God more, but we choose a destination of laziness. We don't want to pray. We don't want to read our Bible. We don't really want to have intimate moments or moments, challenging moments in the presence of God. And so we become lazy. We choose that as our destination. And often what happens is that we get to where we're going and we don't like where we end up. And we begin to question it and ask, well, why am I here? I wanted a great marriage, but boy, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Or I wanted a family, but the kids are driving me crazy. I wanted financial security, but man, the sacrifice was too great. I want to know God, but it's just become a religion. Destination is a choice. In Elisha's story, everything that he does in this moment is about the destination. Elisha begins to follow this man, Elijah, because he realizes that the destination is better than where he is currently at in the moment, plowing fields. And he spends his life learning from Elijah. He spends his life being mentored by this person. And we get to this moment in 2 Kings chapter 2 where all of a sudden the story begins to change because Elijah is about to be taken up into heaven. And so as Elijah moves towards his destiny, he says to Elisha, why don't you stay here in Gilgal? Because I'm going to go on to Bethel where God has told me to go. And so Elisha is forced to make a decision. He can stay in Gilgal, but he chooses not to. He chooses to say, as long as you live and the Lord lives, I'm going to go with you. And so he travels with Elijah to this place, Bethel. In verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 2, we see that Elisha's friends now begin to make fun of him. They say, what are you doing? Why are you following this man? You know what's going to happen. Did you not know that God's going to take him up in a whirlwind? And so they begin to kind of make fun of him and harass him a little bit about why are you choosing to travel with this man, Elijah? Forget him. Let him go. You worry about your life. But Elisha refuses to listen. And so he travels to Bethel with Elijah. But when they get to Bethel, it tells us that Elijah turns to Elisha and says, you stay here in Bethel. The Lord has now told me to go to a place called Jericho. And so we see in the story, in the scripture, that Elisha again says to Elijah, as long as the Lord lives and you live, I am going to go where it is that you are going. And so they begin to make the journey to now a new place, Jericho. And in verse 5, it tells us that Elisha's friends again came around and began to mock him and make fun of him. Why are you doing this? Elisha, why are you going following this man, Elijah? Why would you follow him? You know that he's going to go up in a whirlwind. You're a prophet. You should know these things. Why are you bothering? Just stay where you are. But Elisha refuses to do that. And so they travel to this place, Jericho. And when they get to Jericho, incredibly enough, Elijah says to Elisha, why don't you stay here? I'm going to go to a place along the Jordan River. And of course, the moment happens again. And Elisha says to Elijah, I'm going to go where it is that you are going. And Elisha continues to travel with Elijah. And the story is that all those people that were making fun of Elisha for following Elijah, they all decided to follow from a distance and watch and see what was going to happen. One of the lessons that we can take from the story of Elisha is that life is about the choices that we make. Decision-making is this mental process that we go through to select a course of action from among several alternative scenarios. Every decision that we make produces something. Every decision that we make produces a final destination. If it's a decision that we need to perform, that produces a final destination. If it's an opinion that we conclude with, that produces a destination. Every decision that we make produces a destination or a place within our life that we are going to end up in. Elisha is forced to make decisions that will determine his final destination. And what's interesting is that there were three specific locations where Elisha had to decide, am I going to stay here or am I going to keep moving forward? Am I going to stay in this place and enjoy this moment, or am I going to continue to travel on? Am I going to remain where I'm at, or will I continue to follow this man that I know something is going to happen that probably I may not really enjoy or appreciate so much? Now, here's what's significant about the story. Each one of those three locations, Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho, all had historical significance. Every one of them represented something meaningful, something specific in the past of Israel, Israel's past. And so let's pause for a second and look at each one. Gilgal was the place of beginning. It means that if you go back into the story of the book of Exodus, you will see that when Israel left Egypt and the slavery of Egypt, they had to wander around in the desert for 40 years. As they wandered around in that desert, they had to do that because they had lived in rebellion to God, and that first generation of Israelites to leave Egypt because of the rebellion to God had to stay in the desert until they all died. And after they were dead, then God opened the doors to the land that he had promised to Israel. And when that door opened and Israel went into that promised land, the first place that they landed and stopped and paused at was Gilgal. They went to Gilgal. It was where everything began to form and draw this nation of people together. It's where they had the first Passover feast, where they celebrated and remembered how God had delivered them from slavery. It's where the new generation began to rise up and say, we are going to lead. And they began to organize themselves, and they began to determine who was going to be in charge and how they were going to serve as the Lord. It's where the famous line comes from, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It happened in that place of Gilgal. It's also the place where, when they were in the desert, God would cause bread from heaven to come down and land on the earth so that they could be fed while they were in the desert. But when they got to Gilgal, all of that ended because now they could plow and put in fruit and vegetables into the ground and cause them to grow, and they could take care of themselves. It was a place of new beginning. And Elisha had to make a decision. He had to decide while he is following Elijah, do I stay in this place that represents the new beginning? Do I stay and not move on? Do I stay where I am and forfeit the idea of growth and maturity if I continue to grow and to move forward? And I think so many of us today, sometimes we begin a journey with God, but nothing actually changes in our lives. We're still at that beginning. We're still at that new place, but we go to church and nothing feels different. We talk about God, but we have no idea who he is. We know a little about what the Bible says, but it does nothing for us. We struggle with sin and we struggle with behaviors, but we find ourselves no further ahead than when we first decided to follow Jesus and begin this Jesus journey. And I think so many times we are tempted just to settle down in that place of beginning and never move beyond that to grow and to mature and to be able to overcome sin and overcome obstacles that would allow us to live in the freedom and the purpose to which God has called us. It's like this child who fell out of bed one night and mom came into the bedroom and picked her daughter up and put her back in bed and said, why did you fall out of bed? And the little girl looked at mommy and said, I don't know, mommy. I think I went to sleep too close to where I got in. And sometimes I think for us as Christians, we go to sleep too close to where we began the Christian life, and we never get to move forward and to move on. And so when Elisha was offered the opportunity to stay in Gilgal, he didn't want to stay at the beginning. He wanted to grow. He wanted to mature. He wanted to move on. And so he continued to travel with Elijah. When they got to the place of Bethel, Bethel means a place of dreams. You go back to Genesis chapter 28. There's a young man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob has a dream. And if you know the story, you know it's the dream where there's a ladder from heaven to earth. And it was a representation of how God was with Jacob in that place, in that moment. And in this dream, God says to Jacob that he is going to give him children, and that his children are going to outnumber the stars in the sky, that they would become a nation, and the land that he was in, they would settle upon. Bethel was a place of dreams. Dreams are great. And I'm not talking about just the dreams you have when you eat too much pizza the night before and you have kind of those weird sort of dreams. I'm talking about real life dreams, dreams of purpose, dreams of focus, dreams of being able to say, if I could just do this. I think dreams are great. I think that we need to have dreams, especially God-centered dreams. And so Elisha, he is encouraged to stay in Bethel. He is encouraged to stay in this dreamland, this place of dreams, but he refuses to do so. His friends make fun of him. They try to convince him to stay, because we like to sometimes think about our dreams and talk about our dreams and think about what the future could be like. And boy, if I could just do this, if I just had $1 million, I would do this. If I had $2 million, I would drive this car. We have these dreams that we like to talk about, but we never actually do anything about it. And that's what happens when we stay in the dream and we do not move forward into a place where we could actually walk those dreams out into fruition. So many times dreamers dream about what ought to be done, but they never actually do it. And we say to ourselves, you know what, someday, one day, I'm going to do this. We do this in church sometimes. We will say, you know what, I would love to get involved in church one day. One day, I would love to be able to serve and help out. One day, I may do that. A few weeks ago, we had Serve Sunday. And Serve Sunday was that moment for us to commit ourselves to being able to say, I want to serve in the church. But many of us will walk away and go, you know, one day, I will do that. We dream about it, but we don't actually do it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 tells us that we are to think of ways of being able to motivate each other on to love and good works. Sometimes we also say, you know what, I would love to give. I would love to be able to tithe. I would love to be able to give up my money. One day I'm going to tithe in church. But we never actually do it. And yet Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Jesus said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Message Bible puts it this way, that you are far happier when you are giving than when you are getting. And yet somehow we don't understand the principles of giving, and so we don't. We just say, one day, I dream about being able to do something great. I used to have a person who would say to me all the time, one day, Pastor, I'm going to make $1 million and I'm going to give it to the church so you can buy a bigger church. We dream about these things, but we never actually follow through and do it. Some dream of working for God someday. Some dream of a better church. But how will we get there if we stay just in that place of dreams? And Elisha refused to do that. He refused to stay in Bethel. He refused to stay in that place of dreams because he knew that there was more and he needed that more. He needed that purpose. So he wanted to continue on. And so he followed Elijah, and Elijah got to the place of Jericho. And Jericho is an interesting place because it's a place that represented past victories. There were some real victories that happened for Israel in this place of Jericho. In fact, if you go back and you look at the story of when God opened the doors for Israel to enter into this land that he had promised to them, the first conflict that they engaged in was with Jericho. Jericho was an evil place. Jericho was full of people who did brutal things to other human beings. I've witnessed this with my own eyes. I have seen that in the foundation of some of the old walls of Jericho, the residents of Jericho would take the skulls of their enemies and use them to build the foundations of their walls. They were a brutal people. They were an evil people. And God would not allow them to continue to exist the way they did. And so he brought Israel into that place. And their first conflict was Jericho. And if you know the story, they walked around that wall 7 days, 7 times. On the last day, they blew a trumpet, made noise, and incredibly, miraculously, the walls came crumbling down. It was the first victory of many victories that Israel was going to begin to experience of the power of God. And so Elisha was tempted to sit down in this place and live in the past successes of those who came before him. And sometimes we find ourselves in a place similar to that. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place wanting to live in the past and live in the past experiences. In that place of old blessings, remembering the days of old, sitting around having coffee, remembering how, you know, remember how the pastors used to do this, and those spiritual experiences that we've once had. Or remember how those people got saved, or how the old church, or the old songs, or the old meetings that we would have back in those days. And folks, we don't ever want to forget those blessings. We never want to forget those experiences and those victories that we've experienced in past years. Those are good experiences. We thank God for them. We thank God that PPC is 59 years in Durham Community in Pickering. We love that. We celebrate that. We need to remember God's faithfulness. We need to remember what God has done for us, what God has done in us, and what God has done through us. But we cannot live in those past memories. We learn from them. We praise God for them. We grow by them, but we do not live on them. Elisha refused to live in the past. He refused to settle just on the past victories. He needed more. He needed to see more. He was determined that he was not going to settle for where he was in the moment, but that he was going to continue on. And so it tells us in 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, that him and Elijah got to the Jordan River, and that Elijah folded his cloak together, struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. When they got to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha responded, he said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." Imagine with me for this moment. Here is Elijah, this famous man who's done incredible things, and his mentor, Elisha, standing there on the shore of the Jordan River. On one side of the river represents Israel's past. Some of it is good. Some of it is not so good. But it's the past. And the other side of the Jordan River represents the land of blessing. It represents the land of plenty, of purpose, of hope, of peace, a land that was livable. And here's Elisha standing, making a decision, standing in the middle of the Jordan River. He has a choice. He can go back or he can go forward. You see, we all face that choice. We all face that decision. Are we going to move ahead? Are we going to move within the purpose and the adventure and the fulfillment that God has given for us? Or are we going to stay in the past and live in some unmet dreams, some old victories, and the dryness of the past? We don't want to be satisfied with that. We cannot be satisfied living in the past. Because if we choose to stay in the place of the beginning and never grow and never mature, then when it comes to that moment that Jesus talked about, where the fish are drawn in at the last day and the good and the bad are separated, we will be separated out because we have chosen not to grow and to mature into the purposes that God has called us to. If we just live in dreamland, if we just live having dreams but never pursuing those dreams to see God perform miracles, then we live a life that is empty and hopeless, and we will pay the consequence of that and that destination of eternity with God. If we live in that place of just the past victories, never waiting on God to do something in the future, never looking to where God is at work and pursuing it, then we miss out on what God has determined for us. And so when we begin to live in the past, we live and with the negative impact of that. Look to see where God is leading. Ask him how you can move forward with him and move into the future with him to allow his anointing and his purposes to be fulfilled in your life. This morning, we are celebrating our graduating students here at PPC. It's one of our traditions here. We love our graduating students. And so today, we are celebrating that we have elementary students who are now moving into high school. We want to pray a blessing over them, that as they begin this new part of their lives and this new journey into high school, that they would just know the presence of God and that their faith would be strengthened as they go into high school. We have high school students who are now graduating out of high school into college and university. College and university is a challenging place. The courses become more challenging. Philosophies become more available. And so there are new challenges that our students are going to face. But we want to pray a blessing over them that they will venture forward into the purposes that God has called them to, that they would not get stuck in the place of beginning or in a dream place or in a past victory, but they will have a fresh new encounter with God in college and university. And we have college and universities who are graduating out of university and moving into careers, and we want to pray a blessing over them that the kingdom of God will advance because of what it is that God has purposed in their hearts to do. It is our desire to bless them, to encourage them, to pursue the purposes to which God has created them. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and to give you a future." You know that this scripture was given at a moment when the nation of Israel had found themselves in such a difficult situation. We live at a time where we see difficulty happening all around us. We see economic difficulty. We see wars and conflicts happening around the world. But God had said to Israel in the midst of what they were going through, "I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and to give you a hope." I pray for our students that they would know that future and that hope. But I pray for you this morning that you too would know that future and that hope. Because the choices that we make lead us towards the purposes to which God has created us. So are you living in that creation? Are you living in that calling? Are you living in that purpose? Are you making decisions that are going to allow you to see the power of God manifest in your life? And if not, will you make that decision in this moment? Will you in this moment just simply say, "God, I need you. I need your help. I got off track. I started thinking about the past. I started dreaming, but I never moved forward. I never grew. I'm still really young in my faith, even though I've been at this for a while, but I need to mature and I need to grow and I need to develop." Will you ask God to change the destination of your life so that you can be all that God has purposed you to be? Are you ready for that? Let me pray for you. Let's pray together. Father God, I am grateful that you are the one who determines our path. You are the one who leads us and gives us direction. You are the one who created us from birth and knows our days from beginning to end. God, you know the purposes to which you have created us to fulfill. And so I pray that as my friends have joined us here today, that God, there would be a sense of your presence in each room, in each house, in each device. God, I pray that there would be a sense of closeness and that, God, it would bring us out of places that perhaps we never thought we would find ourselves in, destinations that we never thought would actually happen because we got caught up in the past and in our dreams and not moving forward from where we began this journey with you. But God, I pray that today there would be a marked change within our life and we would move in the direction you've called us to. And I pray over our students, God, as they are educating and learning and beginning new careers, God, I pray that they would fulfill the purposes to which you have created them. God, may they become a force within this nation, around this world, to fulfill the purposes of the kingdom of God in the world around them. And so, God, we commit them to you, and we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.